But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if I may, I'm going to ask if Scott Grogan. Scott, would you lead us in a prayer, asking God's blessings on the reading of his word and the proclamation.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thanks for this day you've given us, Lord. Thanks for this opportunity to be back in your house to learn more about you and learn more about your word, Lord. Be with Pastor Brian this morning. Use him as your vessel to bring us the word of God, Lord. Just burn it into our souls, Lord. Just give us the understanding that where we can understand it, Lord. And just help us apply it to our lives with meaning, Lord. All this we ask your Son and our
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. As we look at this text, there are really two great ancient Hebrew traditions that will help us better understand as Christians in 2018, this text for us, so that we can apply it to our lives today in our own very own time. And the first, it seems, as Jesus is drawing out of the tradition of the wedding feast or out of the tradition of marriage when he uses this text. For he says, nobody knows, only the Father knows. And it's almost as if he is hinting or using the idiom of the time. No one knows, but the Father knows, referring to the time of marriage. For when you got married in the time, it was very different, vastly different from our time today. When you got married, you became betrothed. That was the first step of marriage. Remember, in the scriptures, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. When Jesus, the angels announced that Jesus was going to come and be born of the woman, of the Virgin Mary. So during this time, it was the betrothal time. It could happen when the children were small, when they were little, the parents could betroth them to one another. It could happen later on in the time when the man and woman met, so they became betrothed to one another. And so they enter this period of time that in essence, they are promised to be married to one another. So then came the second phase. And the second phase would be that the man that was going to be married would take the finances that had been set aside by his family and deliver it to the family of the bride-to-be. So he would go there and he would give the monies, the dowry, so to speak, to the family so that they would already have that money in their pocket. And then he would say, I'm going away to prepare a place for us, right? Does it sound familiar? And he would go away and he would go back to the father's home. And there in the father's house, remember we had talked about in the past about the insula, St. Peter's house where Jesus lived. And probably out of that story, out of that instant, Jesus says, in my father's house are many rooms. And where I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you can be also. And there's room in the father's house. We'll just build on another room. And this was the instance in that time. So he goes back to the father's house. And the father begins to build on and make preparations for his son to live in this house with him the rest of his days. Jonathan, don't get any ideas here, right? And so he's going back and he's preparing a place. And the woman knows that a time is coming, at least 12 months are going to pass, but she's not really sure when he's coming back. Who knows? Only the father, because the father knows when all the preparations will be completed and the preparations will be finished. And so when the time comes, when the father says everything is ready, the son goes, he gets the bride, and he brings her back to that house, to the father's house, where they have had a room prepared for them, and the marriage is consummated, and there they spend the rest of their days, the rest of their lives, And they have the celebration of the marriage and feast, and all those great things take place for about the period of 7 days. And it seems out of this context that Jesus many times spoke. And here again, this is no different in Matthew chapter 24. Only the Father knows. The Father is the one that's preparing the place. But when the time comes, Jesus is going to come back to earth, and he is going to receive the bride unto himself, the bride being the church, and take the bride to be where he is at the Father's house, where the place has been prepared. So all those who have fallen asleep, all those who have gone on to glory, as we said, they've, in the South we say they've passed, right? They have died. They're already, they're present with the Lord, but they have not experienced what is soon to be coming, and that is the rapture, or the gathering up of the church, the caught up of the church, to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So that is one of the pictures of the Hebrew tradition that sheds a little light on this scripture. Well, what might be another one? The other one is perhaps, most likely, this Feast of Trumpets, or also maybe better known in our time as Rosh Hashanah. And so Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets, or it's the New Year. If you're Jewish and you're experiencing Rosh Hashanah, which will begin tonight at when the sun begins to come down, and will be tomorrow, you will go to your neighbors, and as you're greeting your neighbors, you're greeting your family, you will say Shana Tova. Shana Tova means have a sweet year, right? And the tradition is that you eat apples, you eat honey, you eat sweet cakes to remind you that it's going to be a good year, and there's going to be great things that are going to take place. This begins the 10 days leading up to Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. So in these 10 days, you're reflecting. You're being very introspective. And we'll talk more about this tonight. And reflecting on your life and your walk with the Lord. And confessing sins. And so it's a time of repentance. It's a time of changing. That you're going to follow the Lord more closely this next year than you ever have before in previous times. So Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, it is the day that takes place, the first day of the new moon of the seventh month of the Israelites. So Tishri is this month that Rosh Hashanah begins. It's the day of new beginnings. It's also the day when the Hebrews celebrated the creation of the earth. They said on this day the earth was created. And so it's a day of recognizing that God has created us and he has made us to be his own. It is a day that the horns are sounded, because the horns refer to the time of Abraham, where Abraham is in the on Mount Moriah, and he is about to sacrifice his son because God told him to do so. And he's a man of faith. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews chapter 11, that this is a man of faith. And so he gets his son and begins to put the wood on to prepare the sacrifice. And then the angel comes and says, wait. And notice that there is a ram that is caught in the thicket there on Mount Moriah. So he is caught by his horns. So it is the horns that remind them that the sacrifice had been provided. Listen, the Jews shouldn't have anything on us. In the early church, the early Christians celebrated Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. We ought to be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. Why? Because the horn reminds us that our sacrifice has been provided. Because on that same mountain, Mount Moriah, Jesus the Christ was sacrificed, provided for you and me. And what should have happened for us, Jesus took on himself, and it happened to the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God. He took it upon himself. So it's a time of celebration. Amen. Blowing of the horns that the Lord has provided for us. It's also a time of alarm. Remember in the time that Joshua led the children of Jericho, or led the battle against Jericho and the children of Israel, and they encamped around Jericho, and they went around that city seven times. And then they blew the what? The shofar, the horn. And the walls came tumbling down. We used to sing a song about this in Sunday school. And the walls came tumbling down. And then the war takes place. And the Israelites go in and they defeat the oldest, the people of the inhabitants of the oldest city on earth, the people of Jericho. And today they are finding remnants of the walls of Jericho. Wonderful things are happening in archaeology. So it's a time of alarm as well when the trumpets are blown. It is a time to get ready. And so Jesus used a lot of idioms. You guys know what idioms are. It's things that we say to other people and we have meanings about them. It's raining cats and dogs, right? Well, it's not literally raining cats and dogs, but we know that it means it's raining fairly heavily, correct? And so it's an idiom, and there are a lot of idioms you guys have learned in English. This is an idiom, in a sense, when Jesus says no one knows the day or time, because it is most likely a reference to this new moon marking the Feast of the Trumpets. Because two men were always on the wall watching. And when it came time for the new year, they were watching for the new moon because it could not start until they saw the new moon. So when everybody knew it was close, right? It's coming. It's the new year's going to be here any minute. But when they saw the beginnings of the new moon, they would go report it to the priest. The priest would okay it. And they would go back on the walls and they would sound the shofar and let it be known. Each little sound had a different meaning. The length of blowing the shofar had a different meaning. And the sound would go out through all of Jerusalem, so that the people knew that the trumpets marked the beginning of the new year, and they would drop everything that they were doing. And they would begin to celebrate the new year, the new beginning, the newness of life. They would go up onto the hills around Jerusalem and put big fires up there. And as the light, they would light the fires so that the people in the surrounding areas, you know, Wednesday nights we're studying Nehemiah, right? Those who lived within the walls, those who lived outside the walls in other villages. They put these fires up on those mountains because in those surrounding villages, nobody could hear the shofar. But when they saw the fire, they knew it was time and they would blow the shofars. They would also light fires. And it went around the known world at the time that this marked the beginning of the new year. Why would this be a reference that Jesus is referring to? Because when he comes again, it is a new beginning. When he comes again, all things will be made new. The Bible says we will be made like he is, right? We don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but we're going to be like he is. When people saw him, when Jesus appeared to people after the resurrection, he was recognizable, correct? But he also just appeared at places, right? He just went through doors. Amazing. So Jesus was in the resurrected form, and you and I, too, at the rapture, will be in the resurrected form, just like our Lord. So for the Christian, may the ram's horn signify that Jesus is coming soon. And when Jesus comes and takes us to be with him where he is, we know that through the teachings of the Bible that the tribulation and all those things are going to take place. And it's going to be a horrific time. So may we seize the day and seize the moment to tell people that Jesus is coming soon. May you and I be like the Hebrew, the two men on the wall that are looking for that sign of the new moon, for the signs of Jesus' coming. That we may get the world ready and tell people that they may know Jesus is coming and he is coming quickly and soon. So get ready. Let me give you a couple of scriptures in Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel the prophet says, blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. And it is nearer than it's ever been before. Amen. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. Near is the great day of the Lord. Near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day. A day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and a battle cry against the fortified cities and the high cornered towers. So the Lord is coming. He may be coming on the actual day of the Feast of Trumpets. Some people think that. We don't really know. But the correlation is truly there, right? Wouldn't you agree that he is speaking that it will be a day such as that? So get ready. Because when the day comes, we will drop everything that we're doing, milling at the mill. One lady will be left, one lady will be taken. Sitting at a restaurant, doodling on your cell phone, one will be left and one will be taken, right? Whatever it is that you're doing, when the Lord calls for the church, we will go to be with him where he is. Let me give you two more texts this morning about this in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and there's numerous of these, but listen to these. 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Paul says. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's that word. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Now I'm going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. There's that reference to the trumpets. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. Caught up together. In a lot of people say that the rapture is not in the Bible, so why believe in the rapture? Caught up together in Latin is rapturo, and this is where we get our word rapture from. So caught up together, that is the rapture of the church, the rapturo of the church, caught up together with him. So caught up together. I forgot what verse I'm in here. So we say by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain will be the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Here we go. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Now, what do we do with that? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So life can get messy at times, right? What are we to tell people? Jesus is coming. Life can get messy for us sometimes. What are we to remind ourselves? Jesus is coming. And what are we to do in light of that, in lieu of that? Well, we're to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord, for he is coming. So let's get ready for his coming, for he is coming soon. He is coming quickly. Jesus the Christ is coming. Let's be ready for him. Let me read one more text in Colossians chapter 4, in verses 5 to 6. Colossians 4, 5 to 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. May we apply that to those who are lost. May we apply that also to the church as well, right? May we apply it to everyone. That our speech is full of grace. That our speech is full of truth. And that we seize the moment, we seize the day, we make the most of every minute, hour, day that we have. For the time is coming when Jesus is going to come and take us to be with Him. So the bride, in the scenario that I gave you, she didn't know when He was coming back. But I assure you, she stayed faithful to the one to whom she was betrothed. She didn't know when He was coming back, but I assure you, every day she combed her hair and she made sure that she was beautiful and ready for it might happen that day. She didn't know when He was coming back, but she was cleaned and ready for He was coming. And she had her things ready to be packed and put on the camel or whatever, ready to go to the house and live with her husband. Are you ready today if Jesus were to come back? Tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. It starts tonight. What if it were this time? What if Jesus came back tonight? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Father, we pray today that You would help us as Christians, Lord, to glean, to learn from our Hebrew roots. For Lord, we truly want to understand what it is You are speaking to us and telling us today.